Ramsey TV.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, one and all, and happy Thanksgiving Day to you in the United States. I don't know what day people give thanks in other parts of the world. Actually, I am just overflowing with thanks continuously. So to separate a day for me to give thanks is ridiculous. It's like separating a day to breathe. I do it all the time. Nevertheless, in acknowledgement of those pilgrims, the intrepid travelers fleeing religious persecution in England, boarded the Mayflower and headed west and landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and started making popcorn. Well, actually, the Native Americans taught them how to make popcorn. That was the greatest thing in that day, because popcorn is, where would we be without it? There would be no movie industry without popcorn. But the question vexing you on this Thanksgiving Day is no doubt the question vexing me. And that is, and that question is, would the Ark of the Covenant melt people's faces off? That's the pressing issue. And so I'm going to answer that question today. If I don't wreck my studio first here, I'm going to answer that question today. Well, I don't need that light after all. Okay, there is this awe and even reverence today, in 2019, there is a reverence for what God did thousands of years ago that today is no longer applicable. But for some reason, many people would rather gravitate toward the exciting days of Israel than to face the challenges of faith in a day when we are walking by faith and not perception. Not that faith is a personal challenge. I don't mean to say that. It is God who grants faith. Nevertheless, there's that towel again. I got to get rid of that towel. I got to at least put it in the washer. Nevertheless, faith is God's chosen vehicle today. And faith, as we know from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is a conviction concerning matters which are not being observed. Well, now, the thing with Israel in the past is they were cuckoo about things that were observed. They were cuckoo about signs and tactile marvels. They couldn't go a day without seeing something. Jesus could heal 10 lepers on Wednesday, and on Thursday, Israel is saying, yeah, but what have you done for us lately? This people is pretty soul-based, not spirit-based. Now, the Ark of the Covenant in its day was a marvel. Why? Well, because the presence of God in the form of a softly glowing, miraculously glowing light dwelt in the Holy of Holies of the temple. So it was a pretty important, if you could call it this, piece of furniture. I hate to call it that. It's like they didn't pick it up at IKEA. Very important to Israel in the day. And we all know of the famous movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because throughout history, the greatest archaeological discovery that can be imagined would be the discovery of the Ark of the Covenant. That is that little box with poles so that it can be carried, where God deigned to dwell with Israel. It was all symbolic, and yet there was something going on there between the golden cherubim that flanked the ark. The coffer is basically a fancy word for a box. And yes, that would be amazing to find it. But in the movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indianapolis Jones, played by Harrison Ford, is, you have to bear with me, I've only seen this movie once. Not a big fan of adventure movies. Any movies that have that kind of music, I'm generally not into. So bear with me. So in the movie, Indiana Jones represents the good guys, and the Nazis, rightly so, represent the bad guys. And they're all fighting to find, it's a race to find the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, there are clues of where it is. And it ends up being in a warehouse somewhere. Anyway, the Nazis come across it. And yet we all know the Nazis are not nice people. And they don't deserve to find the Ark of the Covenant. God is not happy with the Nazis, or with Hitler, or with his dog, or with his secretary, or with the swastika, or with Goering, or any of the tanks that the Nazis built. So when the Ark of the Covenant is unveiled, the Gestapo dudes, of course the Nazi secret police, they gaze upon it. That is a big mistake, because when they gaze upon it, in the modern times, whatever year it was in the movie, their faces melt because the glory of God just comes out of it, because it's still active. You see, in the movie, the Ark of the Covenant is still active, and it's still there. Like, it's still this magic spiritual thing that it just melts those Nazis down like the Wicked Witch of the West. Except it's the nasty Nazis of the East. So, my question is, the question that's troubling your minds on this Thanksgiving Day would be, apart from Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, would the Ark, if discovered today in 2019, would it melt the faces of evil interlopers who would dare to cast their eyes upon it before the great heroes of the West? And to that, I answer an emphatic no, it would not. Why? Because God is done with it. It's a thing of the past. It is a relic of the past. I'll tell you what would happen if it was discovered, but in a moment. You know, back in the 20s in Paris, France, there was a colony of artists. Hemingway was there. James Joyce was there. Ford was there. Gertrude Stein, the Impressionists, some of the Pablo Picasso was there. F. Scott Fitzgerald. So there was this real brotherhood of artists, and it was the happening place, man. If you wanted to be a writer or a painter or a poet, Paris in the 20s was the place to be. But all those people moved on, you see. And now, but in the modern day, people think that, oh, if I go to Paris, watch Woody Allen's movie, Midnight in Paris. This is the whole thing, is people think that it's some kind of magical place, that if we visit Paris today and we live where Hemingway lived, and if we go to the same bars where F. Scott Fitzgerald went to, and if we drink absinthe while reading Walt Whitman or whatever, and was he a contemporary back then some magical thing is going to happen. But no, it's a bygone era, and the magic is gone. It was there, and now it's gone. Thus with the Old Covenant. Focus on the word old, the Old Covenant. So the infatuation that modern Christians especially have for this piece of furniture, which, yeah, would love to see it. I'm going to talk about that in a second. It's unaccountable, except that most quote-unquote believers today, they're really not into belief at all. They want to see physical things. They want signs. They want relics of the past, just like Israel, because they have a heart for old things. They have a heart for law, especially. Law is the key of everything. Oh, the tablets. The tablets Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were also in the Ark of the Covenant. Wouldn't you like to see those? Yeah, as an artifact, that'd be great. Put them in the Natural History Museum. Put them in the Met in New York. That'd be fantastic. But it has no power today. God has moved on, just like Hemingway and Picasso moved on from Paris. God has moved on from the Old Covenant. And as I told you earlier this week, the New Covenant has yet to be established. So those Israel types who are looking for the coming of the New Covenant, the intelligent ones are looking for it. They know that Jesus Christ was their Messiah, is their Messiah. They're waiting for him to return. They know they can't do anything until he comes back. They can't do anything without a temple, a true temple, not a false temple. So what would happen today? Well, let me tell you something. I have a little story to weave for you, and I think I have time for this. Ernest Martin did some great research. If you go to his website, askelm.com, I think the best research he did. There are some things he did that I believe are quite sketchy, but his research on the temple is phenomenal. So he determines that the location of Solomon's temple was not where the Dome of the Rock is today, was not in the celebrated Temple Mount. It was not in that area. It couldn't be. For one thing, there's no water running through it, and the temple had to have a constant source of water. But 1,000 feet to the south of the Temple Mount is the Gihon Spring, which bubbles continuously. And there was a tunnel taking the waters of the spring up to the temple. You had to have flowing water in the temple to wash away all the blood. A grim reality, but a reality nevertheless. And this location, which is on a hill, it's called Mount Zion. It was the city of David. Ernest Martin makes the case that it's the city of David, which is 1,000 feet south of the current Dome of the Rock and the Western Wall, known as the Wailing Wall, that this was the site of the temple. This is where Jesus taught. This is where it happened right here. And I absolutely believe it. It's beautiful. Why is it so great? It's because Ernest Martin and David Seeloff, who's continued Ernest Martin's work upon the death of Ernest Martin several years ago, David Seeloff continued this work, but the case is made very convincingly. There's even a video on it. The case is made that where the Wailing Wall is today and where the Dome of the Rock is today was actually the site of the Fortress Antonia, and it was huge. It's the exact shape. If you go to this whole enclosure, this whole area in Jerusalem today, it's in the exact shape of the Roman fortresses. Because they've unearthed other Roman fortresses in England, and they've looked at the shape of them, and this is where the Fortress Antonia was, where Pontius Pilate lived. And in fact, the Wailing Wall, if this is true, and I believe it is, it means that the Wailing Wall is not a remnant of Solomon's temple. How could it be when Jesus prophesied that not one stone would be left upon another of this temple? Remember the day the disciples pointed out the temple to him? Look how magnificent, look how beautiful. Look at all the gold. Ooh, look how it shines in the sun. Stand over here and turn your head and look. Ooh, it shines. They were so impressed with the shininess of the temple, as Israel types tend to be. Jesus, seeing right through it, says, well, this is a temple that rejected me. It's going to be destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon another. If not one stone was to be left upon another, then what is with the Wailing Wall exactly? It's a remnant of the Fortress Antonia. It's one of the retaining walls of the Roman barracks. So how perfect is this? How many times have I told you that the Israel types today, excuse me for that, the Israel types today are so off spiritually. They're so blinded as Paul states they would be in Romans chapter 11. Not only have they failed to recognize their Messiah, they're still looking for him. Oh, when's the Messiah coming? When's the Messiah coming? You missed him. He came 2,000 years ago. You'll figure that out sooner rather than later. It's going to take a big boom, though, so hang on. They are, not only have they missed their Messiah, but they are worshiping, they are praying, they are stuffing their little prayer requests into a remnant of a Roman barracks. What a cruel, cruel irony. And yet, how great, how perfect. The true site, 1,000 feet to the south. Nobody knows about it. I think that's just beautiful. So, if the Ark of the Covenant was discovered today, I'd love to see it, don't get me wrong. Oh, in fact, David Seeloff, who is carrying on Ernest Martin's work, he flew me to Los Angeles, in, I think it was 2006, because at the time, David Seeloff, and he still does this, he goes to Jerusalem, loves it. He goes there again and again. He apparently, there was a time when he was good buddies with the mayor of Jerusalem, and they were taking soundings. David Seeloff, I might have some of the details wrong here, but they got permission to do soundings. I don't know if this ever happened. And to go to the site, actually stand up there, do soundings to find out if there's a cavity underneath Mount Zion or the remnants of the city of David. Because what David Seeloff was putting forward, which Ernest Martin also put forward, was that beneath the city of David today, beneath that hill, 1,000 feet south of the Dome of the Rock, way underneath is possibly, probably, according to David Seeloff, the tomb of David. The tomb of David. And like a bunch of gold. I mean like a bunch of gold. Like the treasures of David. And also, little thing called the Ark of the Covenant, they believe, David believes, is down there right now. So he had scripture that he wanted me to see. And the reason he wanted me in on this was because he thought at the time that the Ark of the Covenant, that this project of excavating in the city of David was at hand. And David Seeloff expected at that time to locate the tomb of David. Mind you, the tomb of David, David's body, would be down there. And also the Ark of the Covenant would be down there. And David Seeloff wanted me to be the press liaison. He wanted me to be the guy because he thought I was so well spoken to talk to the press when these discoveries were made. He said, "Are you in?" I said, "Am I in?" "Yeah, I'm in. I'd love to go in there and find the Ark of the Covenant. I'd love it. Maybe I'd be the first guy to walk in there." Everybody else would be afraid because they'd be afraid their faces would melt. They don't look at the Ark of the Covenant. But me, I know what the Ark of the Covenant is. It's a relic. It's a leftover from the past. Would I like to see it? Yes. Did this project pan out for David Seeloff? Not to date, but it might still be ongoing. And it could be true. What he's saying, I do believe that's the site of David's residence. David lived on Mount Zion. Of course, we know David didn't build the temple. That came to his son Solomon. David was a man of war, Solomon a man of peace, but David lived there. That's why it was called the City of David, and that was the site of the temple. It was far away in Jesus' day. Come on. The temple was far away from the fortress Antonia. They didn't want anywhere near there, right? Because according to the Israel types, the Romans in the fortress Antonia were dogs and pigs. They wanted to be as far away from them as possible. So, and the Romans were on the same page. So, yes, anyone who would gaze upon the Ark of the Covenant today would be perfectly safe. Yes, find it. I'll go. Love to see it. What an artifact. I mean, yeah. I would like to touch it and think of where it's been. If that thing could talk. My video's glitching here. If that thing could talk, put it in the Metropolitan
Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, yeah. If that thing could talk. But ladies and gentlemen, it has no power today. It's just a piece of wood. Even if the tablets are in it, great artifact, I'd pay $50 to see them. Definitely would. They're pieces of rock. They're worthless, except as an historical artifact. And yeah, they would go on tour and it would make $1 billion for sure. But we, of course, of the body of Christ, even if that stuff were alive and well, even if it was still humming and glowing, and even if the almond branch of Aaron is still in there blossoming, we're still not impressed because we have a calling higher than Israel's, higher than the earth, higher than physical manifestations. But even Israel, and even those Christians today who want to be Israelites, they need to look away from the old and look toward the new. Because the question must always be on our lips for the body of Christ and for those Israelites looking for the kingdom. What has God said lately?